Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast.
Greetings, my name is Keith Schertz, and I'm with 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year, Tosh McIntosh. And Tosh,
let's do it again.
We suck!
We do.
Cougars fall to the Aggies. And the hard part about this one is usually when we lose to Utah State, it is a surprise, or it was a scenario where it was like, oh man, just things went wrong and it didn't happen for BYU on that day. It was not a surprise.
No, some things happened, but it wasn't a surprise.
I thought we were going to lose.
I was surprised when we were looking as good offensively as we did to start the game. That was the surprise.
The bigger part of the surprise is that we looked all right for a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Think about that for a second.
It was bad. And my thing is, whenever we lose to Utah State, that is a game. That's a loss that you should analyze everything.
That's a program
changing
loss.
It's a program game changer where you need to look at, okay, we need to fix some things.
All right, so what's been changed this week?
Nothing.
Oh.
Except we've changed where instead of practicing one quarterback, we're practicing five quarterbacks this week to decide which one is going to be the gunslinger Friday against Boise.
Is it a good sign when you are 5 weeks into the season, you've had fall camp, you've had a whole summer to work, and you've had spring ball, and you're that far into planning for the 2017 football year, and you still do not have an identity offensively, and even really defensively?
Every game we've had a different scheme. That's not a good sign.
Okay. Yeah.
No.
I think I knew the answer, but it's interesting to ask those questions. The lack of identity after a spring ball, all summer, fall ball, and 5 weeks of the season. Is there any question who that falls on?
We have an identity. Our identity is that our offense sucks.
Sure.
Like, that is our identity. And so that falls on, it falls on the coaches and the players. Of course, players need to make plays. You look at this offensive staff's resume of last year and this year, and it's on them. Like, they've had some bad luck, but it is their job. They're getting paid some pretty decent money to be able to put out some offensive stats, some offensive points, and we're not doing it.
No, their job is to put out a good product on the football field, and they just simply aren't doing that in any phase. And we've talked about those things. The troubling part for me, Tosh, and this is where I think I want to head with this, is that against Utah State, the Cougars go up 21-7. Sideline is hopping. Kalani's chest bumping. He's dancing over there. People are smiling and yucking it up over there. And then Bo Hodge goes down. Utah State starts to recover. They start scoring some points, and it goes the other way. And it's like the only person that played with any motion, heart, and really was leading out there in any way was Fred Warner. Fred Warner played his butt off. It's a lonely spot for him right now. Being the best player on a bad team has to be a lonely experience because he's really a very good player.
He's played great this year.
And
that guy's going to play on Sundays next year.
He's a very good player. He played with emotion, heart, played hard the entire game, played hard when it's hard to play hard, when things are not going right. I saw more fight from Fred Warner than I did Kalani Sitake. More heart from Fred Warner than any of the coaches on the sideline. The sideline was dead. The fight and emotion was not to be found anywhere with BYU. I mean, listen, there's all sorts of problems, but the energy with this team right now, just the culture with it and everything, it has gone off the rails. Off the rails from where we were 2 years ago to where we are a year ago and to where we are now. It's the deterioration of energy and culture is huge. We had a conversation once with Andrew George, and we asked him, well, what was it like after a really tough loss for the team? Like when you guys lost 32-7, you know, College Game Day was in town, we lost to TCU. Like, what was that like? He said he and Dennis Pitta and Max, they were together, and they got talking about that a little bit, and they said, we weren't going to let the coach's bad game plan and ruin our week. But, you know, they knew the coaches didn't do a good job getting us ready for TCU. We're a very good team, and they were. They knew what their skill was, their talent.
Yeah.
They knew the coaches weren't getting them ready adequately. And so they weren't going to let that bother them. They were going to go out, play hard again, but not let a bad game plan like kind of ruin everything, because they did everything that they're supposed to do. They know that they can be successful. Coaches didn't put them in a place to be successful in that game. Combine that with what Andrew George said to Ben Criddle on ESPN yesterday.
Yeah, that quote I think really hit home to me, where he said that when he was on the staff as a GA,
graduate assistant,
that after they lost to San Jose State, Bronco came into the coaches' meeting and said, when we lose to a team with equal or lesser resources and talent, that's on the coaches.
Right.
And so, again, that was this game for us.
That's what Utah State
is. We lost to Utah State, who has lesser resources, lesser talent, and we lost him, and that is on the coaches. And so this is a wake-up call. And I don't know, it's hard for me to get mad about the energy on the sidelines. Yes, I want it. All I really care about is what they're doing on the field. And right now...
Yeah, but it's effort. It's effort.
Right now, our staff is getting their butts kicked.
Yeah, but who was playing? But players on the field. For Fred Warner's like, fine, coaches aren't doing their bit.
Yeah.
At least I can play like this game is really super important to me. Like, you didn't really see that. It didn't permeate to anybody else. It looked like one person was ready to fight, and that was Fred Warner. And everybody else was like, well.
Our running backs ran hard, but then they fumbled the ball, which is huge. I feel like our D-line had their best game of the year.
Sure.
They got six sacks, and they had zero against FBS opponents.
They had one going in. Yeah, I think you're right. Like, things got better. They played better, and they had a stretch where things were going well. To me, it's easy to be energetic and jovial and positive when things are going well. It's to keep it going when things are not going well. And I did not see that. And here's the thing. The reason I brought up the story about those great players not letting the coach's lack of game plan or the coach's ability bother them, that they were going to go on and have a happy week and not let things really get to them too big, is right now I'm seeing two things. One, we know that the players know, I think it's obvious to the players, it should be obvious to the players, they got to stand up for their coaches, but there's signs and evidences through tweets and things like this that they know that the coaches aren't doing a good job by them right now. I think that's obvious, right?
No, I mean, that's every sports.
You know, when you're a player and you know that the coach isn't doing a good job, you know that.
Exactly. And when you're losing, it's natural tendency to point to the coaches. And when you're, when we're losing like BYU is this year,
yeah,
you know there's some stuff.
So even at work, when things aren't going good at work, you know when your boss isn't giving good advice, or you know when he's wrong, or you know what, people know these things.
Yeah.
You just, when you're part of a team, you just kind of know these things. The troubling part then is when the leadership is also saying that it's not really them, it's that the players aren't executing, that the players aren't doing their job. And Kalani, boy, he let his preferred walk-on, a guy he let be the backup quarterback. I mean, I know he's QB3.
Yeah.
I know Coy Detmer is QB3. But walking in to Maverick Stadium on Merlin Olsen Field, Coy Detmer was QB2.
Yeah.
And... man, he had to go out and play. He had a rough go of it. But Kalani really let Coy Detmer Jr. have it in the comments after the game.
Total. Really harsh. I feel like I love Kalani and the passion that he brings. And I love his interviews. But that's the one time that I think he said something he shouldn't have. When he said, yeah, it's tough. It's tough to play out there when you have a quarterback that can't throw the ball. Like, that was over the line. And I think that it was actually directed at Ty. I think right now they're trying, this is desperation mode, and they need big changes. And I think that they are definitely considering all possibilities. And I think that comment was a shot across the bow to Ty of, hey, you're playing your nephew. you got to figure something out, man, because nothing you're doing is working
right. Well, and the other thing that Kalani's done this week, though, is he's made it clear that Coy Detmer Jr. will not be playing against Boise State.
That's what that comment did. They said that they're trying between those five. I don't buy that for a second. I do believe they might be looking at all four quarterbacks, the other four,
they're looking
and
all,
seeing who's going to play.
They're looking high and Critchlow for a quarterback this week. But, yeah, no, one of the, so I think that you're right. It should be appointed at Ty Detmer. I've got some startling numbers for you here. Just Ty Detmer offense, just all of the quarterbacks. So this is anyone that has thrown football under Ty Detmer.
Ever since he became the quarterback.
Over the last 18 games, okay? Cougars have completed 58.6% of their passes. They've thrown for 3,348 yards over 18 games. That is 6.2 yards per attempt. That's horrible. 19 touchdowns, 19 interceptions, so 1-to-1 TD to INT ratio. 4 pick sixes, that's a 114.81 quarterback rating for all the combined quarterbacks' work underneath Ty Detmer. What he has done effectively is take Tanner Mangum, who was the MVP of the Elite 11 camp, considered one of the finest quarterbacks in America, one of the top quarterback recruits to ever come to BYU. He has taken Taysom Hill, who, talented as all can be, and
with almost every athletic gift a football player could ask for.
Every athletic gift that a football player could have. We'd heard that he'd always got better at passing. I owe him a little bit of an apology because I think that the system is certainly part of what's going on here. Bo Hodge as well, even though he looked a little better against Utah State, we were still under 6.5 yards per attempt with Bo Hodge, even up to the point that he left the game. What he's done, and then of course Coy, what he's done with all these quarterbacks by resulting in a 1-to-1 touchdown interception ratio with 4 pick sixes, 114.81 quarterback rating. That is essentially what that is, Tosh. That is Jake Heaps' career at BYU with a worse touchdown-to-interception ratio.
So
he's taken those guys and done that. Or
the good quarterbacks in BYU history, they're like in the 130s, 140s, even 150s.
Yeah, a good number is 140 and higher.
Yeah.
Max Hall finished 151, John Beck 141, okay? Riley Nelson was 131.
And okay? We're at 114.
And we're at 114. We should be killing for the days of Riley Nelson, because Riley Nelson had a much better touchdown interception ratio. He was over a yard and a half better per attempt throwing the football. Okay. His completion percentage was just a bit lower, but that's because he took more shots downfield. Now, fortunately, he had Cody Hoffman to work with. But the point is that all of these quarterbacks, okay, have played very poorly under, and that is including games against Southern Utah and Portland State and UMass. And on average, Tosh, we've played on average teams that give up 230 yards per game. Under Detmer, we're averaging 156 yards per game passing, less than 200 yards.
It's the worst passing in the BYU era.
It's easily the worst. Since box scores have come into place, since 1972, that's Tommy Hudspeth era football. Since that point, there has been no worse recorded era of passing in BYU football history. And the part that's even more that makes it even more damning is that this is the easiest era in the history of college football to throw. Penalties are on favor wide receivers and quarterbacks. The schemes have been everyone has figured out how to throw.
Yeah.
Throwing is easier than ever.
These guys are getting quarterback training their entire lives.
In the history of this sport, there hasn't been an easier time to throw a football. And we are having the worst time trying to throw a football right now than we did when it was 1974 and Bob Jensen was our quarterback. Okay? The Cougars can't throw. They can't throw the football. Christian Stewart came in and ran Taysom Hill's offense. He couldn't run, really. But he ran Taysom Hill's offense for 4 weeks until they finally tailored it to his skills. But Christian Stewart played 8 games, okay, and threw for like 2,800 yards. Almost had 3,000 yards in 8 games.
It's wild.
We have just barely gotten over 3,000 yards
in the entire time under Ty Detmer. Let's pull out the games against the FCS teams. That quarterback rating drops to 108.27.
When we play real football teams, FBS football teams.
Correct. That, but that also includes teams like Utah State's and UMass's and Cincinnati and all that stuff. Okay, but here's the thing. They can't throw against anybody. That's Matt Berry level, 108.27. Do you even remember Matt Berry? Do you remember Charlie?
I remember those guys.
You remember Charlie Peterson?
These aren't guys that
we they got benched. With, they got benched. Why? They sucked. They weren't playing well enough on the field. If you're not playing well enough on the field, you get benched. What do you do then when everybody sucks? Doesn't matter who you throw out there. They're all bad, Tosh. It's time to bench somebody, right?
Yeah. It's going to be somebody. This staff is going to get shaken up. I thought there wasn't going to be mid-season shakeups. If we lose the next two games, which everyone thinks we will,
right?
There will be offensive staff shakeups. I don't think it's tie mid-season, but there will be position coaches. Things will change if people are going to be held accountable because we suck at an all-time level.
Just like unbelievable.
And we have... Look. Some of it's on the players, but we have some more athletically gifted players. You look at, we have a freak tight end. Jonah Trinneman might grade out as the most athletic receiver that we've ever had.
He's running free behind people for 2 years now.
And
he's only been hit once.
It's wild. I felt like, though.
Here's the other thing, and just one more stat on this, Tosh, for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Opponent passing yards per game, okay? So let me just give you, like, a basic idea of what I'm talking about, okay? Portland State this season is surrendering 271 yards per game. The Cougars put together 194 yards against that team, which means that they were 78 yards away from the average output that a passing team does. They were well below average against Portland State, right? So I think you understand what I'm saying there. Whether you increase the average on a team's opposing pass defense yards per game or lower that, okay? 18 games under Ty Detmer. Only twice has BYU passed higher than our opponent's average pass defense yards per game. We've only increased their average twice. Otherwise, we've made other teams look better and lowered their average. 16 out of 18 games. Southern Utah, we made theirs go up when we exploded for 411 yards. The only game in the history underneath Ty Detmer where they surpassed the 300-yard plateau. And against Toledo, where we beat out their 221 yards, we got it to 248 yards. It is atrocious. It is criminal.
Yeah.
And there comes a point where there's just no way that schemes. So then the question, Tosh. What's the patience here? Because there's two camps that I see out there. There's people that are outraged and they're like, wow, there's clearly a problem with the coaching, clearly. And then there's the group of people that believe that what we just need to do is believe in the system, like, give it some time, and things will get better. That we got to get the right recruits in there, that we got to get things tailored just right. Just give it time because what you're going to see at the end is a masterpiece.
So here's what worries me, and I do hear a lot of that, and I can be one of those guys. Like, at the same time, if you're Tom Homo, if you're Kalani Sitake, if you're anyone who's evaluating these offensive coaches, and you're looking at reasons we should keep them or reasons that we should let them go, there is a lot of data. If you're being honest with yourself, there's a lot of things that would be on the side of, hey, maybe we need to let these guys go.
New direction.
The only thing, and I'm open to ideas. If you have one, email the show. The only
Cougarcast@gmail.com.
The only thing I can think of that would be on the keep these guys is, well, it's just been too soon or they need more time. That's not even a real reason to keep someone. Yeah, like, that's what scares me. And I feel like this is BYU. We are not a quick trigger, fire people.
Stability
school.
Is usually the rule here.
Detmer is going to get 3 years. So we're going to have to run with this for another year and a half. And that's what I think is going to happen.
Right.
The position coaches under him, it can be quicker, and that he it is going to be quicker. But if we're being real, and if Ty, I think I like Ty, nicest guy in the world. I think if he's being honest with himself and was asked, what would be reasons you've done to keep you right now? What would be reasons to be do to let you go?
I won a Heisman Trophy in 1991.
His only things on the keep is that he needs more time. And that is a scary place that we're at right now.
I think that's right. The problem is the reason to give more time is at least you want to feel like you've been able to peek through the curtain and glimpse that glorious future at some point. So tell me, what's the game that you look back and you're like, wow, do you remember the things that were done in that game?
There's nothing schematically. Maybe if I'm really like grasping Jamal, what,
the game where Jamal ran wild against
there
Toledo.
Was some plays in the Arizona that I was impressed with. Toledo, we were offensively amazing because it was Jamal breaking 80-yard runs.
Jamal was awesome.
The best play that I thought, man, that was a well-designed play, was against Utah State, that when we did the fake reverse pitch back to.
Uh-huh.
That's the only play that I can remember. And some of that's on me. Like, it doesn't need to be a trick play to impress me. But at sure. the same time, it doesn't seem like we're even doing enough. We're not doing anything schematically to trick
people.
But
it's not just about one play. It's about being systematically solid through an entire game.
And plays building off each other.
Now there's going to be problems. There's just stuff that you know if somebody has it or they don't, Tosh. That's kind of how I feel. You can see if a player had. Bo Hodge is good enough to play college football. There's no doubt. Like, we've seen it.
Yeah.
He can play. I know it. We've seen him in two games.
His arm looks pretty strong.
We've seen him in two games.
People are worried about his arm. His arm looks pretty good. Yeah. I think that guy can play.
We have, like, 7 quarters of data on Bo Hodge, and we know he can play.
Yes.
We have 18 games of data on Ty Detmer, and people are saying you don't have enough data to know whether or not he knows how to do this.
Yeah. That's totally true.
We haven't seen anything yet that indicates that he can do this. That's, in my opinion. And so if you're going to just trust the process, I need to have some real feelings like, well, this is when this is going to turn, and you got to be patient. Like, that's really tough thing for me to buy into.
We're
when I know
for the guy. We want him to do well.
No doubt. Of course we do.
It's just that right now, as us cheering for him, we're grasping at straws at how we can figure out how this is going
to
get better.
Elisa Tuiaki is a first-time defensive coordinator. Had very little experience as a position coach, not very many years, but he's got it. There's times where
you can peek, even this year in the bad games, you can peek through the curtain and say, this is a defensive scheme that is going to be great.
There is reason to be patient with Elisa Tuiaki. He's got it.
Yeah.
He's been able to show something. Tosh, despite all that, we love BYU's chances against Boise State this week.
Let's talk Boise. And this will be the shocker. I think we are the one voice you will hear this week that we actually think that we might win.
There's a chance that the Cougars might be able to find a way. Listen, there's too much pedigree, too much pride. There's too much there, right?
Yes.
And we thought last week was the litmus test game. Let's make another litmus test. Let's do another test to find out what this team is. Really, this Boise State team is not your traditional Boise State team.
Boise State is overrated. That's not to say we suck, but Boise State is overrated. Like, their offensive line is bad. Their quarterback play, they had Rippon coming back, really excited about him. That guy has zero touchdowns this year, 6 interceptions, 4 fumbles.
Yeah.
That guy is a shell of himself.
So that's horrible. 6 interceptions, 4, 10 turnovers without producing a touchdown is
rotten. He has 6 total turnovers. 2 interceptions, okay. 4 fumbles,
okay.
But 6 turnovers, 0 touchdowns. The guy is bad.
That's not great. It's still not great. So the point is if you take a look at Brett Rippon, right, he is his father was a Super Bowl MVP, so the pedigree's there.
He played decent last year.
He's had moments where he's looked good. I don't know what's happened to him this year in particular. Those quarterback controversies can mess up really good quarterbacks, maybe, because they have Montel Cozart, right? Yep,
who's played a lot better than Rippon so far this year in limited time.
So Cozart, for those who may know, is the one that effectively ended Jake Heap's dream of being a legendary quarterback for the Kansas Jayhawks. He beat Jake Heap's out early, within year one, as a freshman. He beat Jake Heap's out for the job at Kansas and caused Jake Heap's to transfer yet again. Montel Cozart now, he's got a lot of experience. He played for 4 years at Kansas. He could never really own that role. He's always been in quarterback controversy, like his entire. So he's not like this lights out quarterback, but right now it looks like he's playing a little bit better than Rippon.
Yeah.
And he's the one that we're scared of. And so if we were looking at Brian Harsin, the head coach of the Broncos, we would be both saying, play Rippon, please. We'd like you to play Rippon.
Yeah, as BYU fans.
As BYU, yes.
Yeah.
And you never do what the opposing fan base is cheering for, right? Like, you never do that. And so...
Because here's why. They've got a bad O-line, and I would much rather a non-mobile quarterback behind a bad O-line if I'm BYU. Like, I think this game, from a defensive standpoint, it is going to look similar to the Utah State game, where we can get to the quarterback and we can shake things up and really look like the more athletic team when it's our defense against their offense.
All right, so we think that we can keep them off the scoreboard despite kind of a lack of a real pass defense. But again, Cozart's been the best running back on this team. He's run for the most yards, so they don't really have much of a run game. Their throwing game isn't much. Cozart's not somebody that can scare you to death through the run, but neither is Rippon right now. So, that, you know, I'd rather play Rippon than Cozart.
Yep.
And but we'll see. This means that they'll probably start Cozart, right? So it'll be interesting to see what happens with them. But they can't really run. They're the same team. They've really struggled offensively, but defensively have looked pretty good in a lot of games. And they did score a lot of points against Washington State as well. Does that worry you at all?
Well, yeah, some of that's inflated because it went to triple overtime. So it was a 47-44 loss, but a lot of that was from a triple overtime. But Washington State's decent, you know?
So, yeah, they're good.
So there we go. That is probably their most impressive game of the year was their loss to them. They also beat Troy. That if BYU fans are paying attention, yeah. Troy
just killed LSU.
So Boise has those two good games. Then they've got where they really looked bad in a closer than they should have been, you would think, get win against New Mexico. And then Virginia pounced on them. Virginia won 42-23. Virginia's not that great this year.
No, they're not.
And that game was...
They struggled with Indiana.
That Virginia game, lost. It was more lopsided than that score of things. Boise, this is a chance for BYU to be able to surprise some people because people aren't giving them a chance, and Boise might be a game that matches up very well with these Cougars. And I've said it once this season, and it's even more true now, the BYU players are playing with Monopoly money. They're playing with house money right now. There's no pressure. Like, everyone expects them to lose. Go out there, play your hearts out, get a win this week. I think has a good chance of being that sort of week.
Does this put any worry into you? Boise State's coming off a bye week. Generally, through their history, Boise State awesome off of bye weeks. What do you think about that?
How are they going to scout our offense?
Does like, it matter?
Every game.
Hang on. That's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
First of all, sure, fine. I get the in concept, correct. Yes. In reality, does it freaking matter?
Well, that's the thing. That's what I'm saying, too, is that I don't think this bye changes things that much at all. Like,
all right, let's talk about it from the BYU side then. We talked defensively. It looks like I do think that there will be Boise State's going to have a little bit of a hard time scoring points. On the road, they always – coming down here, they seem to have a hard time most of the time. And so that's one of those things. So all those things – play in our favor. The only thing that sabotages BYU's opportunity is the offense. First of all, turnovers are gigantic. The offense is so bad right now. You know what? In normal seasons, what the conversation would have been for Tosh and I this week, it would have been Ulatulatau has a problem holding on to the football.
And yes, he's productive.
Yeah.
But can we live with his fumbles? And it's something to keep an eye on. And how quick are we going to take him out? But because everybody else has been so bad, it's just like, nope, we got to live with the fumbles.
Yeah.
And it's not even a conversation. It's not even a conversation at this point. So, Tosh, the question I have, and I think maybe more important than anything else, is can Ulatulatau, and I think this is really the question, can he protect the football? And honestly, that, by the way, that's another coaching problem. That's on Reno Mahe. Technique.
Yeah.
How you're going to hold the football. I know you like to stay up and fight through tackles and get an extra yard here or there, and that's who you are, but you can do that, and we'll allow you to do that, if you'll freaking protect the football. But he won't do that right now, or he's not doing that right now. Well, that's a Reno Mahe thing, too. So I would say Ulatulatau holding on to the football, right, and he's the most important player for that BYU offense this week.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Like, he needs to... Yeah, because here's the sad thing. Our O-line got lost in this craziness, too. We haven't even mentioned them. Our O-line played their best game of the year.
Yeah.
They were given big holes. Ula was having big holes, but so was Canada, who sucked this year. That guy looked like Jamal Williams at times. Like,
yeah.
He was hitting holes hard, getting big gains, moving the... Our running backs need that again, but they just can't fumble. But I agree. Ula is our best offensive player the last 2 weeks. We need that for week three, but with no fumbles.
All right, so Ulatulatau, most important player. If he can hang on to the football, Cougars can maybe really get it.
Let's hear a score. What's your score?
Well, hang on. There's one last thing we gotta address.
Okay.
Who's our quarterback?
Who knows? That's the...
Because we know it's not Coy, and I don't feel like, with the way that football works now and what we know and stuff, I don't want to see Bo Hodge on the field.
No.
On Saturday.
Yeah.
He had a concussion. Like, yes. Let's not bring him back six days after.
There's talks that maybe he got a head injury that they didn't rule as a concussion against Wisconsin, too.
And also, and then his father had a history of that as well. So that family's going to be sensitive to that. And beyond that, he was limping around and stuff. Like, he played well, and I feel bad for him.
I don't want to force that guy out. I don't want to see him back on the field. Let's get that guy feeling well.
All right, so...
Mangum's practiced this week.
Tanner Mangum's practicing. Tosh, is it worth rushing him back?
Is it worth it is a hard question. I think it will happen. As we have put out there hard, these offensive coaches, these position coaches, they are playing for their jobs.
Right.
And they are, when that comes to that, they're not thinking what's going to be best by the end of next year for Tanner Mangum's ankle.
And that is a real problem, though.
They're gonna.
That is a programmatic problem. So that is something for Tom Holmo to maybe intervene and talk to them about.
Mangum's play. That's my projection. My guess. Mangum starts this.
And week. Mangum is going to want to play because he's, of course he's going to want to play.
Yeah. Yep.
So you think he's out there? The conventional wisdom out there, Tosh, is that we're going to see Joe Critchlow.
So here's my take that had you laughing so hard that you could not bear it.
Joe Critchlow. Just if you don't know who he is, was planned to be redshirted, is a walk-on, had graded out and measured behind, right? He is behind Coy Detmer, and now suddenly we're more confident starting him against the Boise State Broncos than we would be Coy Detmer, even though we let Coy Detmer go out as the backup quarterback last week. So again, if you have any other questions about coaching, that is another dysfunction of coaching. If you had a guy that was better, then why did you – anyway.
I'm high on Critchlow.
And Tosh. Tosh loves himself some Joe Critchlow.
I love his film. I think the guy –
from Tennessee, right?
Yeah. Growing up in that part of the country, I think a lot of the schools that were recruiting him were not as keen or had not been used to letting a guy go on a mission. I think that Critchlow's better.
He was a preferred walk-on.
It's true.
At the Y.
It is very true.
I have a hard time believing that Joe Critchlow is going to solve it. But
guy was named as he was all region as a senior.
Oh.
You look at his BYU. You look at his thing of talking him up. Some of it's okay. Some of it is like embarrassing that it's on there.
Oh man.
But this guy, I actually like his film. I trust Lamb. He's a Lamb guy. So far, I think Lamb's got a good evaluation of talent. I think Critchlow, here's my big take.
Okay.
Critchlow will have a season where he is our starting quarterback.
He's the guy.
He will have a season at BYU with all these recruits we got coming in. All everything. Critchlow will be the guy at BYU for at least one season.
So he's beating out Hall, right? Yeah. We have Hall coming
Jaren
back.
Hall.
Jaren Hall. He's going to beat out Tanner McKee if we get him, which we're probably not going to. But you know,
yeah.
You think Critchlow?
I think Critchlow has a season where he is the man.
All right, so Critchlow's—he's not mobile. He's an under center guy. He's going to have to throw.
He's got a quick trigger. He throws a good ball. I think, but that's not. We're. Not, I think if Tanner gets hurt, Tanner will start. Is my prediction. If Tanner gets hurt, they are not putting in Coy. It's going to be Critchlow that runs into that game.
That's interesting. Well, and so it'll be interesting if we get that. If we get Tanner, can I make a complaint? Can Tanner run at least the better version of the offense that Bo Hodge got to run?
Yeah.
Because what Tanner Mangum got to run was horrible.
Tanner needs to run 80% out of shotgun. It needs to be need to be out of shotgun.
What he got to run versus what Bo Hodge got to run, it's just not even close.
Well, to be more specific on that, I understand.
Well, Hodge was in the pistol most downs, yeah.
And that Ty wants to run his system, which is a pro style.
Right.
That is not something that Tanner has showed any ability to be comfortable in.
And it's not something that Ty Detmer has shown any ability at being successful at doing.
And that we tried to – we really had Tanner running offense that is not to his skill set, but then with Bo – we changed the whole offense to fit both strengths. And so that's what you're arguing for. Can we see what Tanner will do again when he has an offense that is built around his strengths?
Let him run the pistol. I don't care.
Yeah. Or just normal shotgun with the back next to him. Like, I think either one of those. Here is my BYU versus Boise State score prediction.
Oh,
24.
Man. No way.
24. And here's why.
Last year,
didn't we have 14 points from defense?
We did, but that's not happening again.
We will get at least a touchdown from the defense.
Okay.
24 points for BYU, 13 for Boise. We win, and then everyone's shaking their heads again, like, what is this team?
What is going on? Yeah, listen, I think if BYU is going to win this game, it's got to be a lot lower scoring than that. This has to be one of those, like, slog 6-3.
Okay.
10-6 sort of games. That's how BYU.
We've had those with Boise before.
We have, and in order to win, I think that's what it's going to take. I don't know that you're going to see Tanner Mangum. Tasha, you're of the opinion, right? If he's practicing, he's playing.
That's what. If he's practicing, he's going to play, and he is practicing.
And that makes some sense. Oh man, you know what? Fine. Nobody believes in Tanner Mangum more than me. I think he's a great player, and I feel bad for. I mean, he has not. That being said, he has not played well. I get that, and I would say, you know what, Tosh? Let's do it. We're united on this. BYU. Just because I can't be so heartsick to just have him lose again. BYU over Boise State. Boise State's not good this year. If you're gonna catch him, this is the year to get him. I will do exactly what I said. I will do 10-6.
All right.
Will be my score on that. So we're going for BYU over Boise State. Buck the convention. And actually, I don't feel that uncomfortable with it.
We're putting our chips in the table, which is a crazy, crazy move right now. But
there's
that's
no reason to believe in them. Literally no reason to believe in them, but we believe.
Thank you for listening to Cougar Cast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!